Father God, as we study your word over these next few minutes that we have together, I pray that you would open up your word to us and bring forth your revelation. Your revelation, Lord God. Your revelation come forth in your word. I thank you. Come, Holy Spirit, and be our teacher. In your precious and most holy name, amen. The book of Ephesians. Wow, is this a powerful book. Every day I pour into these scriptures, and I am just ignited with excitement over what God is doing now and what he's going to do in the days ahead. I'm ignited with excitement over it. Today, as I was preparing for this time together, this brief time that we get together, so we went over Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, and we studied what it means to be in Christ. We studied what it means. We studied, and remember last week I told you guys, according to was a key phrase in Ephesians. It's a key phrase because we need to see what God has planned according to his will, his purposes in the earth, because it is his will that we have been created to fulfill in the days ahead. It's his will, his purpose. And that word according to means to bring down to earth from above. So it is his will being accomplished in the earth in the days ahead, in and through us. And if we don't know what his will is, if we have not pressed into God to find out what his will is, we are not going to be able to enter into the fullness of his plans and purposes for our lives. That's why prayer and the word are so key to what we do here. Every believer on the earth should be spending time in prayer and the word because it will help us understand God's plan. If we can really grab hold of God's plan, so many things will be set aside. So many of the things that are the extras, so many of the things that are not relevant to God's plan will be set aside. And our focus, our prayers will be targeted on fulfilling God's plan in the earth. So I pray that the Lord really spoke to you through these scriptures this week as you studied that. Now, in Ephesians 1, 3, I'm going to read 1, 2, 3, and 4 right now. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In heavenly places in Christ. Now, Ephesians 1, 3, and 20. This heavenly places refers to the part of the heavens. This is the heavenly places in the realm as the sphere, as in the condition and state which something operates from within. Heavenly is referring to the part of the heavens influence on a particular situation or person. Verses 3 and 20 of chapter 1 refers to the abode of God and the angels. And that's what I want to talk about first, because the abode of God and the angels. Chapter 2, verses 6, 8 through 10, and 12 refer to the lower heavens. the heavens and the cloud. And that's at high places in verse 12. We've got the heavenly places referring to God and where he abides. And we've got the lower heavens. And there's two different places where we do battle. When I was studying this morning, something hit me. Something very impactful hit me about the book of Ephesians. Now, we talked last week that this is God's plan for the church. The unity, not between all these different religions, but the unity between the Jew and the Gentile, one new man. And we will not fulfill our purpose here on the earth until we walk in the unity. Until the Jews are grafted back into the vine, we will not enter into the fullness of Christ. They are essential to the church fulfilling what God has created her to fulfill. And we read together in Ephesians about the armor, of God. Because we will wrestle against principalities and powers that reside in the heavenly places. That's the lower heavens. So we have the upper heavens and we have the lower heavens. This is the area we've been created to battle. That's why we have to put on the armor of God. That's why we have to put on the breastplate of righteousness. That's why we have to have the sword in our hands and shod our feet with the truth. That's why we must wear the helmet of salvation, because it protects us when we are engaged in battle against the principalities and the powers of the enemy. And if we have not adequately prepared ourselves through prayer, through the word, and understanding what it means to engage in this level of battle, the enemy will hurt us. And it's something that we, especially in this ministry, with the level of warfare that we engage in, need to fully understand. We need to fully grasp what God has created us for. I was talking to Mom last night, and she said that the Lord had told her that this ministry has been created to bring forth the one new man. And we're going to be talking about that in the weeks ahead. It's very important. It's very key to what we're doing. And he had been speaking to me about that over the last couple of weeks, which is why we started studying Ephesians. He started igniting something in my spirit that there is a plan in place and we are on the horizon of seeing God's heavenly plans and purposes taking place in this earth according to his plans, his purposes being birthed down here in this earth. No wonder the warfare is so hard. No wonder the battles are so great. No wonder we press in and press in and press in. And at times don't feel like we're getting anywhere. But do you realize through the pressing in and the pressing in, we are going deeper in God? Sometimes, like with David, we see immediate results. His liver started producing red blood cells. He responded immediately to our prayers. Immediately. God stepped in and answered our prayers. And others we've prayed for a long time. And we're still waiting to see the fruit of our prayers come forth. And that's okay. Because that is developing within each of us determination. It's developing with each and every one of us persistence, perseverance. It's developing within each one of us a closeness with the Lord. because we've got to tap into him on behalf of those we love so much. We weep for them. Day in and day out, we weep for them, for their healing. Not only is the Lord collecting our tears, not only is he hearing every single prayer, but it is drawing us into intimacy with him. And it is strengthening our spirits for the days ahead. What a beautiful gift he's given us to pray for one another. What a beautiful gift. It's a gift that gives back to us so much more than we put out. Intimacy with our God. Fellowship with the Spirit. It binds us together. So when we engage in battle, we are far more effective as a unit. All of this time, he is preparing us to engage in battle. The battle. Lord told me a couple weeks ago, Joel's army has been created to battle the unity movement. It's not its only purpose, I know that. But Joel's army has been created in this hour. Because the plans and the purposes of the enemy are far greater than we realize. And we see it when we've got every religion on the planet meeting together in unity. Banking on the fact that most believers don't know the scriptures. So we all come together in the unity of the faith, Copeland says. The Protestant Reformation is dead, he says. And we say, no. This is not what that passage of Scripture is about. This is about the unity between the Jew and the Gentile. This is about the fullness of the reason for the covenant promise that we studied already. The covenant promise given unto Adam, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and on, as it was revealed through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to bring forth the unity between the Jew and the Gentile. We had no hope of coming into the faith as Gentiles without the work of the cross. His purpose to graft us in. To bring us into his presence, to bring us into the fellowship of the Spirit, to bring us into him through the work of the cross. How very precious. How very precious is his love that he would set in motion not only a plan to bring us into the Holy of Holies, but to let the Gentiles come along. What a beautiful, beautiful promise of God. In Ephesians 6, Paul writes that we wrestle against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness. Isn't that what we battle every single day? With Christ within us. Christ within us. Chapter 2, verse 6, he hath raised us up together, made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. In Christ. So if we're going to engage in this battle, we need to be in the fellowship of the Spirit. We need to be in Christ.
Amen.
What a beautiful stage that has been set. Do you see the stage? Today, as I was preparing, I saw the stage in the heavenly realm. I saw it. I saw the stage set before us for the battle. The children of the living God in Christ, wearing the armor of God, and we will be studying that in detail in the days and weeks ahead. Fighting against the principalities. We have got to, you know, this according to means God's heavenly desires, his will, being birthed here in this earth. But in order for his will to be birthed here in this earth, we've got to engage in that spiritual battle. We've got to prepare ourselves to enter into battle on a higher plane than we are today.
Sure.
It's a higher plane. I know we pray for our kids' salvation. I know we're praying for healing. I know that we believe in, and O'Day is a testament to a man who knows how to get people saved. He just has a gift of evangelism. Oh, my taxi cab driver, yep, he just came to know the Lord. The waitress, just led her to the Lord. He has a JA meeting, and 20 people come to know Jesus. And then they baptize them. Yes, we want the salvation to come into play. We want to pray for salvation. But God is using everything that we experience in our lives now to prepare us for the battle in the heavenly places. Do you feel the difference in your prayers? Do you feel the difference in the anointing that comes through you? Think about 3 years ago. Think about 2 years ago. Think about a year ago. Can you see the progression of your intercession, the anointing that flows through you? Can you feel it? It's because God is using, I would really like to hear a yes, but it's okay if you don't want to say it right now.
Amen.
God is,
amen.
Thank you. God is using our intercession. When we pray for each other, when we pray for the nation, when we pray every prayer. And these are long-standing prayer requests. Why? Because he's developing us, preparing us to war. This is our boot camp. You be ready for the battle? And I can tell you, Ken knows all about boot camp.
Oh, yeah.
They're a lineage military over there. This is our boot camp. And he's preparing us to face the principalities and powers of the air. We've got to start seeing the work that we do as a work being done on a higher plane. We've got to come out of the temporal and start looking at the eternal. We are headed for battle. When he made that known to me, when I sat there and he it's like he took out this plastic mat. Don't laugh, but it was like a pop-up mat. But he took out this plastic mat and he rolled it out like a scroll on either side. Whoosh! And out popped. It moved up into 3D. It was not here on earth. It was in the heavenly realm. I said, God, you are preparing us. You are readying us to come up off this earthly plane and engage in battle with you in the heavenly realm.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, God.
And my Spirit rose up within me, and I felt like I was on fire. I almost jumped up off my bed. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you for every prayer that hasn't been answered. Thank you for every struggle. Thank you for every trial. Thank you for working out of me the stuff that would get in the way of your plan. Thank you for teaching me, for training me, for preparing me for the big one. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you that you are strengthening this ministry to take on the enemy on a way we don't even see right now. But he's about to reveal it. Because I saw that plan roll out, and I said, oh my goodness. It's coming. Are you ready? Are we ready for the battle? Are we ready to take on the prince of the air? Are we ready? In chapter 1, verse 19, I want to touch on this before we close up. All right, so in Christ. Now, when you read the book of Ephesians, make sure you go through and find out what is in Christ, what it means to be in Christ, the depth and the power and the authority. Because in the book of Ephesians, Paul lays out two realms, in Christ or in the world. There really isn't a third option here. In Christ or in the world. And we need to understand what it means to be in Christ, exactly what it means to be in Christ. Well, I was 10 years old, and I went to church, and I had been going to church for a lot of years, and I remember staying after to meet with my Sunday school teacher, and I asked her to help me ask Jesus into my heart. That's when I got saved. That's when I got saved. The drawing was in my heart to come to Jesus in that moment. I told my mom, I'll be late. I want to talk to my Sunday school teacher. I still feel it. Like I feel it like it was yesterday as he drew me into him. It doesn't matter how simple or how powerful. The Lord came and appeared to me in my living room, and I fell on my face because his power and his glory was so great, and I knew there was a God. The earth trembled beneath me, and I knew there was a God. I saw someone get up out of a wheelchair, and I knew there was a God. I was 3 years old, and I wanted more of Jesus. I didn't even know what it meant, but I wanted him. I ached for him. It doesn't matter where your testimony starts. What it matters, what really matters, is what you do with it. Will you enter into the fullness of Christ? Will you really learn what it means to walk in Christ? There will be plenty of people that enter heaven having had a fairly superficial walk with Christ. I don't do things superficially. I'm all in. I got both feet in, and I am all in. Listen. Will you enter in to Christ? Will you shed off your flesh? Will you shed off you to step into Christ, leaving everything else behind, to enter into Christ. Chapter 1, verse 16. Paul, he's talking to the Ephesians. He ceases not to give thanks for them, making mention of them in his prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Years ago, my mom said, what did she say? Pray for wisdom, knowledge, revelation, and understanding. Pray for that every day. Every day. That was Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. But the word I want to focus on is enlightened. Why do I want to focus on that? Because the enemy stole that word from us, you know. Just like he stole our rainbow. We're just trying to steal our rainbow. We're taking it back. He stole unity, right? He's leading people down the path of deception, saying it's a unity of the faith. That sounds like one world religion to me. But that's not what unity is about. That's not what the rainbow is about. It's not the LGBTQ and whatever else. Whatever other letter wants to be tacked on to that, the rainbow is God's promise, his covenant promise. When I see a rainbow, I think of the promises of God coming forth. One of the most difficult days that I have had in this year, my daughter, it rained in Lemoore, and she caught a picture of a double rainbow, full rainbow, double rainbow. She had gone out to the store. It was there. She said they barely 30 seconds she had time to pull over, get her phone, and take a picture. God's promises. That's what that rainbow is about. Unity is between the Jew and the Gentile. Amen. Unity is between the Jew and the Gentile. We'll talk about that more later. I talked about a little about last week. But the enlightenment, that who took that? The elite. The Illuminati, to be illumined. But that is from God. And we need to take it back. We see this in the Bible, and what do? Especially those that know about the Illuminati. What? We can't be scared of the terms because the enemy, the copycat, is stealing them. Because we're not going to let him win that battle. I'm playing tug of war with those words, and I'm going to win it. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. This enlightened means God sharing his life, exposing and overcoming darkness, like the ignorance caused by sin. God sharing his life, exposing and overcoming the darkness. The darkness, like the ignorance caused by sin. So he's praying that the eyes of their understanding be enlightened. That God's life will come in and expose and overcome the darkness in their lives. God's life will come in and expose and overcome the darkness in our lives. I'm taking enlightenment back. That's a powerful word.
Amen, amen, amen.
It is a powerful prayer. We cannot be afraid of the enemy. There is nothing that will teach you how to fight against the enemy like fighting for who you love. When you fight for your children and you fight for your parents and you fight for your family, Something rises up within you against the enemy. Something rises up within you. And that fight goes beyond those you love. You start to see him for what he is, the prince of darkness. And what do? You begin to pray. And you bring forth God's light into the situation. God's light into the situation. Because you begin to see the power and the authority of the living God. You begin to see how his life, his light, exposes the darkness, and it must flee. We tell people, well, you know, I'm being tormented by evil spirits. Quote the scripture. Quote the scripture. Picture this. You start quoting scripture, and what happens? Imagine the enemy feeling acid on their flesh. Just picture that, because that's the power of the Word of God. We don't use it like we should. We don't use it like we need to. Why do you think it's one of our greatest weapons? Because there is power in the Word of God. And if we will really get a hold of that, really get a hold of it, we will be quoting scripture and singeing the flesh of the enemy all day long until he lets go of our loved ones. And when we get strong enough, after praying for our loved ones, we'll take on those we don't know. We'll take on the prince of darkness because we realize we've been created for something greater than just our family. We'll begin to see the call that is on our lives. We'll begin to see the anointing and the authority that we can walk in and that we can actually step into the battle in the heavenly places and come against the principality of darkness. Fighting, warring, and winning that battle. The battle stage has been set. It's out there. Will you be ready? Will you be ready to enter into it? When you pray, do you feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit rise up within you? When you study the Word of God, does something happen in you and you jump up off your bed, you jump up off your desk, you jump up and you say, yes, that's what that word means. Does the fire of God fall in you and ignite something and cause you to rise up and say, no. No, I'm not going to stay in this darkness. I want to be enlightened by the life of God. I'm not going to be a passive, dormant Christian. I'm going to be a warrior in the kingdom. We have a lot of options. We have a lot of options. We can be a file clerk. We can. Or we can be on the front lines, waging war. But the only way to do that is to let him in. To come to understand what it means to be in Christ and step into him. Into him.
Amen.
Immerse yourself in him.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
If you immerse yourself in him, he will transform you into the warrior you've been created to be. He will do it.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
He will do it.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father. Let me tell you, all of this is according to the pleasure of His goodwill. He would have all of His children rise up and step into the fullness. Do you know that? All of them rise up and step into the fullness. That's His good pleasure. That's His pleasure. Let's suit up. Let's get ready for this battle. Let's let God do in us what needs to be done. Wage war. We've been created to fight for this nation. We've been created to fight for truth in the church.
Yes,
we've been
Lord,
created
yes, Lord.
To stand in this battle and not let go. Because we're talking about people's souls here. We've got to rise up and fight. As we go through the book of Ephesians, we are going to see God's plan laid out. We are going to see the fullness of what God is doing in this time. Oh, the revelation that the Lord gave Paul. Oh, the revelation of the one new man. Oh, the power of that revelation. We are going to learn it. We are going to know it. And we are going to walk in it. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you, Lord God, for the release of your word into our spirits. I want to thank you for the release of your word into our minds, into our hearts, and that it is transforming us into the fullness of what you've created us to walk in. I want to thank you for the battles that we've faced. I want to thank you for the struggles that we have encountered. I want to thank you that you loved us enough to prepare us for the days ahead. I want to thank you that we have been predestined for this hour in history.
Amen. Amen.
I want to thank
Amen.
You that we have been chosen for this time. I want to thank you for every single thing that we have gone through to prepare us.
Yes, Lord.
For this battle. And I ask, Lord God, that you would continue your refining work until we are completely ready to enter in. I thank you, Lord. I thank you.